Hello to you once again. Martin Tyler here. Welcome to Goodison Park. And today it's Everton against Manchester City.
It's Sunday the 26th of November and it's time for the latest edition of Get Up The Yard. In a quiet weekend, it's probably going to be a quiet night because it's just the two of us. It's just myself and Dunny tonight. Dunny, it's going to be a romantic evening, just the two of us talking about football like the old days. But how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Oh God, you look lovely in this candlelight, Frank. I guess nice and quiet. We won't have the wise words of Kenny, Ken, or Davis even. Just you and me, Frank.
Yeah, I expect the ratings to plummet. not because of us, of course, because the content is pretty dry on the ground, and we can talk about all the domestic football over the weekend and the previous week's Champions League. But Donny, Pepology is alive and kicking. Although just about a hard fought 2-1 victory over a really physical and disciplined Huddersfield team. It's not a very easy place to go. Klopp's understudy, David Wagner, but the Man City train rolls on.
Yeah, City winning, obviously, that's why you're on this week.
Well, I've been on every week this season.
Yeah, that's because they haven't lost this season.
Yeah.
Huddersfield, obviously, I still think they're going to go down the relegation fodder. But every team that goes there, any of the big six, are going to struggle there because it's going to be one of these teams, one of these seasons where they're going to give it absolutely everything and then they beat Man United there. But it was a good win for City. I didn't see it myself, but apparently he who shall not be named played well, and he scored the winning goal.
Well, in fairness, the ball more hit off him than.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me with its finishing, but yeah, good result, and I think that's one of those that Pep will be happy enough, obviously, to just get the 3 points and get out of town because he would have known what these guys are going to do. They're going to up the game, and they've done very well. They're 8 points clear, and they're looking more and more. It's theirs to lose. Let's be honest. I think now if they get through Christmas, and they're still eight points, there's a big gap there. I cannot see anybody catching them. I really can't. They're just firing away now.
Yeah. Well, I said to Dave a couple of weeks back, December 17th will be the date that they've two home matches now against Southampton during the week and then West Ham next Sunday. Now, if you're going on form, you'd expect them to win both of them games. Yeah. Man United are away at Watford, who are very, very dangerous at the moment. And they really gave Newcastle a going over yesterday and have been in brilliant form this season. And then they're also away at Arsenal in their next two games. Now, if you're saying that you expect City to get, you would expect City to get 6 points in their next two games, United would be probably looking at four, maybe, from them two fixtures.
Yeah, and
which you never know. Like, as I said, like City could end up taking 1 point and United six. But, if you were looking at form, that would probably be the consensus.
Yeah, I mean, although Southampton did the business today, they won 4-1 against, but let's be honest, against a fucking terrible Everton side. They were struggling, and I'm loving it. And they really should get 6 points from that. They'd be really disappointed. Although West Ham, now, with Moyes, say what you want, they are really, really organised now. They're, although Bilic was a terrible coach towards the end when it unravelled for him, and he went bringing all his players. Look what happened. Sorry, coach, you were just shit. You know, players came in. You know, he's changed a lot there. So West Ham could prove to be a bit dangerous. But you really should be looking at 6 points there. I mean, United, obviously winning at Brighton, could have Lukaku banned, apparently. He was up to noughties, he was, yesterday. And he could be retrospectively banned. Watford, Arsenal, let's say they could go further. Like, they could be 13 points behind.
Well, if they took 4 points from them, let's say they beat Watford and draw with Arsenal and City win the two, they would be 10 points behind.
Yeah, that's huge.
City going in, like, by the time the derby kicks off, which basically means that if City won that match, they have to go 14 points clear, that the league is over probably on December 10th.
Yeah,
City do play Spurs the week after, but, you know, 13 points is a long way back.
Yeah, it really could be. And then that would be a disappointment. I mean, I'm sure Sky would still try they could be a million points behind, and Sky would be, oh, no, you know, they could still catch them. Yeah, it could be over. You know, Pep has experience of winning leagues, obviously. German League was a given, but he also won a very tough La Liga with Barcelona. So he's got experience there. He knows how to win leagues. They got players who know how to win leagues. So, yeah, I'd imagine it. But this could be a season of twists and turns. United seem to have their mojo back a little bit with Pogba and Ibrahimovic, but it could be too little too late, if I'm honest. And then we could see Mourinho really smash down that self-destruct button. But it could be over. You're right, it could be over. And then if they are 10 or so points ahead, and then they go to Old Trafford and they draw there. If they don't lose at Old Trafford, because that would be Man United's. It is at Old Trafford, isn't it?
It is.
So, if they go to Old Trafford then, and they don't lose, it really is over, because that will be their chance to get some sort of grip on them. So really could be over, and that would be a shame for the neutrals like me, and great for the pepologists like yourself, Frank.
But on the same token, you know, if it's not beyond the realm that Man United could beat Watford, and, you know, and depending on what Arsenal turn up, whether it's the Arsenal that played Liverpool or the Arsenal that played Spurs, you know, if United were to beat them and go into the derby just 8 points behind and beat City and narrow the gap to 5 points, with City's next match being at Spurs, you know, it's like, I suppose it's easy kind of to say if and when, but I mean, I'm sure you, even as someone who doesn't like Man United and doesn't like Mourinho, is probably hoping that, oh, well, I suppose actually it's a tough one for you because you don't like Pep or Man United either.
I knew that was coming. It's not that I don't.
I think everyone loves a title race, though, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got to understand this. I mean, you're going to see over the coming weeks. I mean, I don't have anything against Pep. I don't like Mourinho, I'll tell you that now. Man United as a club, I couldn't really care about anymore. I'm not 13, not like a United fan, you know, who will just, anything Liverpool, they'll just be all over it, and then claim that we've done what they've just done in terms of, you know, oh, anything to do with the other club. But yeah, I want to see a title race, to be honest, because Liverpool are not going to do anything this season at all. We might get the knockout. We should get to knockout stage of the Champions League. That's going to be about it for us. We'll be lucky to finish at the top four. We'll probably finish fifth or sixth. So yeah, I want to see something, a bit of drama. And maybe, although it would be funny to see Mourinho push the self-destruct button. That's how we
go. Oh, yeah.
That always brings a laugh. And I think if they are well behind, and then United fans have a go with him, because they will put up with his shite football. So, well, Dave's not here this week, so fuck him. They will put up with his shite football as long as they're winning stuff or winning matches. They fall behind in that, they'll turn on him, he'll turn on them, and it'll just be amazing to see. But I wouldn't have an issue with Pep. You'll become even more unbearable, Frank, if they win. Let's be honest.
No.
Yeah, like, you will.
I've always been a fan of Guardiola, and I think some people, I don't know, like, have taken it against him for no reason. Obviously, he doesn't like the media. He's never, like, if you think he's prickly in these interviews, you should see him when he was Barcelona manager. I take it that rubs a lot of people up the wrong way. But, I mean, I've always kind of admired the way his teams have played and his beliefs and how a team should play. And you even see what he's done with players like Raheem Sterling and Aguero and De Bruyne. Like, you know, he's improved Sterling no end. But even, you know, to improve someone who's world class like Aguero or De Bruyne, it takes some doing. You know, he's just a really super coach. But that's, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, we never doubt his ability as coach. As I said a few times in this, that my issue with him is that the way everyone just, you know, licks the arse off him, really, and yourself included. You know, he invented football. He did not invent football. He did not even invent the way Barcelona play. But I always thought he had the ability to do what he's doing at City. He's got the money behind him, you know, but he's a top coach, don't get me wrong. But he picks his jobs, you know. He goes to a club with wealth and power behind him. Be interesting to see him at
but he's not going to go to Huddersfield, is he?
No, but I'd like to. But it'd be interesting to see it, you know, as a project.
That's like saying, "Oh, Messi, you know, oh, could he do it for Stoke?" You know,
I'm not saying he couldn't do it. I just would like, you know. And there you go again, Fox. Eamon Dunphy said a few months ago, and he was right. He goes, "God, if you criticise Pep, you feel you have to duck." Yeah. I'm not criticising it, Frank. I would just. I'm not saying that about me. Oh, can he do it on a Thursday night in Stoke or whatever? I'm just saying it would be interesting to see him, not as a, you know. So put the fucking gun away, you know. I'm just saying it'd be interesting to see him at a lower level club. Of course, why his stock is high, he's not going to go to a low level club like Mourinho isn't. You know, he's always going to go to a top club. But it'd just be interesting to see how could he get like a team that, you know, doesn't have to, like, imagine him at Ireland walking out after an hour. It'd be just interesting. But yeah, he's always a top coach. I just didn't like when he came in, the way you guys were all, I mean, I'm not being bad for it, but when he came in, you wrote a love letter about Pep, how he went about getting him and this guy, and how
I was constantly,
yeah, well, you fucking did.
I didn't. What happened is I put the facts out there. You guys run off with wild speculation. Oh, he, you know, he couldn't handle it at Barcelona. And he walked out.
And, no, we never said that. Well, actually, you know, no. Sorry,
that City just threw a load of money at him. You know, it was a bit more cultured than that.
it was in an envelope. You know, they got class. No, look, come on, you put a thing out there, and you were like
to put on things.
Yeah, you were like fucking, oh, they got him here now. And the way he went about this, and he promised them to build this academy, and he got this guy. They couldn't get him at the time, and he waited. You know, come on, you were giving it the large one, as you say over here.
Time will tell. Time will tell. Did you see? Sorry, go on.
No, go on. Sorry, I'm done. I've had enough apology.
You haven't had enough of it, though, trust me. You're only on stage one.
Listen, I'm sure fucking we'll find out about if they win.
If you want to see stage two and you want to get your passing up, it's going to cost you $2,000, baby. Yeah. But you didn't happen to see the interview Eric Cantona did during the week, did you?
Here we go. No, but I was waiting to bring this up. I heard quotes about it. Yeah, I say that's not going to go down too well, is it?
That puts a lot of pressure on Mourinho, doesn't it? Because, you know, Cantona's pretty much referred to as King Eric, and, you know, the hardcore Man United fans who may already have doubts about Mourinho will feel a lot more validated now in articulating them that one of their own, and, you know, a real legend of Man United has come out and said something like that. I mean, you applaud his honesty, and, well, maybe he needs a dramatic quote to sell a few books. He does have a book coming out, but, you know, you would be disappointed if a club legend came out and said something like that about the manager of your rivals, wouldn't you?
I shouldn't be saying that. I think that's very irresponsible. I think it's selfish. Yeah. And
even myself, I cringed. I was like, oh,
I didn't know he actually had a book coming out. I wouldn't read it anyway. It'd just be a love letter to himself. But, you know, he was a great player, but he's a guy who retired at the age of 31, was hopeless in European matches. You know, he did the odd bit of magic, but he would not survive in today's game. He'd be totally fucking out of his depth in today's game. And
I always find with Cantona that he was grossly overrated.
Yeah. He was overrated. Listen, he did a bit of magic for Leeds. I remember when he tore Liverpool apart, fucking playing for Leeds United. I think it was in the Charity Shield. And then he signed for United. But yeah, he was overrated. He's just one of these enigmas. And you know, in footballing, enigma means arsehole. And the guy was a gorier on the pitch. He'd do stuff. He didn't get his own way. He cost France a place in the World Cup. Against Bulgaria in that night when Al McLaughlin put the ball in the Northern Ireland net. You know, they just love him because they love flawed characters. Your Berbatovs, he was a poor man's Cantona, and your Georgie Bests and all that kind of, and they just love all that. And so, yeah, you're right. What he says will have a lot of sway with these guys. And I just think it's very, very irresponsible because the fans don't really like Mourinho. That's why they never wanted him in the first place. He's nomadic, he's grumpy, he doesn't really get the ethos of Manchester United, he doesn't get the ethos of club. It's a great club, you know, I mean, it is, it's one of the, probably the biggest club in the world, no disrespect to City or whatever, but they are probably the biggest club in the world.
No, like, only a fool would argue that they're not, like, you know, they're huge.
And the history.
Like, in terms of stature.
That's a great club, the history it's got and the legends. Mourinho is a fucking mercenary and he's not really going to do anything there. You know, you win a couple of trophies, whatever. But yeah, but there's two managers right now in the Premier League that would have suited United to the absolute ground. And unfortunately, the one's at Liverpool and the other one's at Man City.
Where's the other?
Well, it'd be Jurgen Klopp. It would be Klopp, of course, because he would actually fit with Manchester United, the passion. He'd probably have the money. He'd be able to get players in, the top class players in, and wouldn't be dealing with what he's having to do with Liverpool. But he would probably fit them perfectly. He gets the working class ethos of Manchester, because he's from the similar type of city in Germany. And he would get that, and they would take to him more. They would love him. For everything they criticise him, take the piss out of him at Liverpool, obviously at United, they'd love him for it. And Guardiola as well would get him playing great football. So yeah, it's very irresponsible to do that. And if I was Mourinho, I'd be fucking spitting feathers. I'd be like, rein him in, you know, like, but then I don't think he's an ambassador or anything for, I think he's a UNICEF ambassador or something like that, isn't he? Or.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's not connected to the club.
Yeah.
Anymore.
So you can't.
But he's still a legend, you know, and he's still like, when you think of Cantona, you think of Man United, you know, they go kind of hand in glove.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, and as I said, there's a lot of people that idolise him, and you know, he's given results. If that result against Brighton didn't turn, you know, that deflected shot by Young, United probably Brighton were actually bang unlucky. You know, they actually played some lovely stuff, and it was a very fortunate goal that. I think he went down as an own goal off Lewis Dunk in the end.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, if I know what you're saying there, if they didn't get that little bit of luck and maybe even a draw at home, they're probably lucky they got that win, because then they'll just forget about Cantona's comments, because Yeah, they're just looking for a reason to have a go. And you can say what you fucking want about United fans. They're fickle. They're as fickle as anybody. You know, they go on about, you know, other clubs, and you point a finger. And without looking at their own clubs, you know, how many of these United fans wanted Fergie gone? You know, and it wasn't happening for him before he won the Cup Winners' Cup and then eventually the league. So, yeah, it is. Yeah, they're fickle, you know, when they don't get things their own way. So, yeah, it's going to happen anyway, Frank. You know, it's going to, the whole situation's going to go south anyway. I just can't wait for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I suppose, speaking of going south, although it was probably a decent result, although it's the second time in 4 days that Liverpool blew a very promising position to secure two brilliant results away in Sevilla, 3-0 up at half time. Somehow ended up drawing the game, and must have felt like a loss. And then against Chelsea yesterday, in a much more even game, they went down to what could only be described as a freak Willian cross, which he claims is a shot, which is ludicrous. It's a tough one, because I'd say probably before the match in Sevilla and before the Chelsea match, two draws wouldn't have been the worst results in the world. But to be leading both games with 10 minutes to go and not to take 3 points from either, that must have been a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, we beat Sevilla. We put away the ghosts of Christmas past in that Europa League final. And we are basically, we're through to the knockout stages. We can rest players, play a few fringe players. Can't do that now. We should get there, but we just have to take care of business
seal
now.
The deal.
Yeah, just have to seal it there. And I can't, because I think we seem to be the draw specialist. It's a bit disappointing because the momentum we were building up, and he plays that fucking clown, Moreno, and he is a clown. Does this guy, why are people saying he's on great form? Have you seen this? Like, the eyes turn around, he's still shit. I wrote an article about him a while ago, him and the other clown Lovren, and they're like, oh, his turnaround's been momentous and all this stuff. Are people fucking blind to this guy? Like, it's just, I don't know what he's seen him, but he gives away a penalty, he gives away a free kick, and then they have the program. They put the cover of him on the program. What are you trying to do? Oh, you can't drop him for the next game, because if you do that, like, you, and he was even a fault for that goal. Like, he had a part to play. Like, he didn't close down Willian enough. You could probably accuse me of being a bit harsh, but he actually had
a decent enough game yesterday by his standards. He had a decent enough game by anyone's standards, because I think, you know, probably Chelsea and Hazard wanted to get at him. And he played as well as I've seen him play yesterday, but yeah, he's just a disaster. In fairness, most of the time, Sevilla, Jesus, giving away the free, giving away the penal.
He's a white Jimmy Traore. You know, he's as Jim Beglin said about because you're watching that on the stream, because you don't have Sky, or BT, But Jim Beck, what was it? He said Salah was the Muslim Messi, but this guy is the white Jimmy Traore. He's just going to do something, and he plays left back as well. He's just going to do something stupid. For all his good work, he'll do something stupid, and you can't. That affects confidence, and I've said everything that there is to say in him. But it's very disappointing. But hey, look, we haven't lost for a while, and we've actually got ourselves back into the argument of top four. We go to Stoke during the week. We should win that, really, because he rested a lot of players, so we should do that.
I think that would be the real acid test, though, because, you know, that's a real kind of benchmark. Stoke are really someone now you should be, but they, you know, if you're not at it, you'll end up not beating them. Like, you know, and I actually think that, like, if you take circumstances away, that the results that Liverpool have had recently have been largely positive. Like, I genuinely had them pegged to get beat by Sevilla.
On a good vein of form at the moment. I can't argue too much. And look, with them select, I don't really have an issue with them selecting a defensive lineup, because hey, look, two teams played midweek. They just said, you know, don't lose. I think Klopp would be happy. With the draw during the week is a bigger kick in the balls than the one against Chelsea at home, because we could easily lose that. So I think you just set out a team there, don't lose it, just contain them. And to be fair, it would have worked if it wasn't for a freaky goal, which was never a shot. But footballers are footballers, and we're doing okay at the moment. Got Stoke away, then we have Brighton away. I'm actually going to the Brighton match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually fixed the deal with a good mate of mine who books it. I'm going down as a steward to sit in the seg line. get paid to watch Liverpool play. So you'll have an in-depth analysis next Sunday, hopefully.
So now I have to keep your back to the game.
No, you sit in the sideline. You sit on the sideline.
I didn't mean as a steward. I just meant as a Liverpool fan.
Jesus. Yeah, well, Will, and if we're 1-0 up in the fucking 90th minute, Will. Yeah, no, it's great. Although last time I sat in the seg line was England Portugal, and a big fight broke out between a Portuguese bloke and a fellow with no teeth from Burnley. But there you go. Hopefully that won't happen again. No, we're okay at the moment. We get 6 points there, and Tottenham are starting to wobble a bit. Then we could be back in the argument for top four, but you know, not going to do anything in the league. And then we got Moscow at home. Should be winning that. And then we have the derby. And quite frankly, we should be fucking hammering them because Everton are shite.
Derby day, that's on the same day as City United. So Sky, you'll see the posters up soon enough.
Liverpool fucking v Manchester. Or they'll come up with some shitty slogan anyway, won't they?
Well, it'll be... Well, yeah, like, I mean, it can't be Merseyside versus Manchester because they're both playing each other, like, but it'll be red versus blue or something, you'd imagine.
Yeah, that'll be it, actually, won't it? Red, some bollocks like that. And then both matches be like...
But that's like, I mean, that's a pretty raw deal for City, isn't it? That's like, do you remember back in wrestling where someone would be taken on a tag team and they'd be tagged with, like, Doink the Clown or something like that? Or what's that little guy's name?
Dink.
Hornswoggle. Dink. Yeah, you know, the fact that City's tag team partner in this duel is Everton.
it's a bit shit, isn't it? Yeah, it's like fucking,
it's like just Finley and Hornswoggle versus the Big Show and Kane or something, like, you know.
Do you remember in the late 90s they had Legion of Doom and they were doing an angle where Hawk, because he's a recovering addict, wasn't he? May rest in peace. And he was coming out drunk. That's what he dived off the top of the Titantron. That's what Everton are. Fucking disaster. What's going on at Everton now? Are they going to get a manager? I mean, they're after that silver guy. I mean, Everton are somehow not in the relegation zone. They're just shit at the moment, aren't they?
Well, they're not in the relegation zone, but they're certainly relegation candidates because they were beat, I think it was 4-0 during the week by Atlanta. I think they were beaten 4-0 over there as well, so they've lost pretty much 8-0 on aggregate to them. They were hammered today by Southampton. That will be the only time Southampton score 4 goals all season.
Oh yeah.
Like, Southampton are very, very shot shy. It just really goes to show you how careful you have to be. Like, you know, when we were talking about Michael Keane at Burnley and how well he did. And then if you look at, they've just got a new guy in, Tamaraski, and he's settled in seamlessly. Burnley are still rock solid at the back. Meanwhile, he's at Everton now, and he looks, you know, I think they bought him for 20 or 30 million. He looks worth about 20 or 30 thousand, you know.
Yeah, he's bad. But I think, though, Everton, you need a lot.
They reckon O'Neill could end up there. I think he's Bucky's favourite at the moment.
I'll take him, please. I don't know. I mean, I think with Everton, they need. Oh, by the way, still no O'Neill. He wasn't at Fulham yesterday, and they had Millwall. So
I'd say he's away on holiday.
I'd say he's got his head buried in the sand somewhere. But I'm on O'Neill watch. He hasn't showed up at Fulham. But yeah, just going back to Everton. I mean, it doesn't go to show you, though, as you say, you have to be careful, but how many components you need to go for you. So they had a manager. They spent a load of money. They had a manager who didn't really, he thought he was too big for the club. Who actually, to be honest, Ronald Koeman and Everton, I think, are about the same size, to be fair. And, you know, sorry, Everton. And I think that they brought in spent a lot of money on what looked to be very good players, but then they sell their number one asset, Lukaku, and then bring in a washed up has been with Wayne Rooney, who got himself fit for England, got dropped from England, got himself fit, played well, lost the weight, really seemed to, you know, show like he cared. And then when England came calling, said, fuck you, Southgate. And I think personally, that's why he did that. Just say, no, you want me? You didn't want me when I wanted to play for you. Now you want me? Go fuck yourself. And then he did what he did in his first international break when he got done for drink driving. And yeah, that stuff like that going on just shows you, you know, he was supposed to be brought in as an example to the junior players. It's just a massive unbalance there right now. And, you know, what sort of example is that setting for these guys? And then you have like a really old back line. You got Jordan Pickford, who is magnificent. He's a brilliant goalkeeper. And I feel sorry for him. That poor guy. His career could be over if they don't sort something out. His confidence must be, he's probably got a back fucking problems by the time the season's finished, bending down, picking the ball up out of the back of his net. And it goes to show you what can go wrong when you don't get all the components right. And I mean, this guy, the manager, he's well out of his depth. And they're looking for Silva or O'Neill. They're not going to get Silva. I think Watford will want too much money. And they're entitled to do that. You don't go for a manager mid-season, Frank, you know. And, yeah, I mean, who would you go for?
I was annoyed. I'd just pay the money and get Silva.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't get him now, the way he's going with Watford, I wouldn't be surprised of Watford, you know, have a big connection with Serie A. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up at Juventus or AC Milan.
Yeah, he's a top coach. What were you going to say?
They don't get him now.
Yeah.
I was just going to say is that, like, it just startles me. Like, I'm a very good footballing man and kind of romantic, but this new one, when you hear, like, first of all, he's which is fair enough. It wasn't going right under Koeman, but he clearly had no one lined up and he clearly had nothing in the background ready. He's had to put Unsworth in charge, who has done wonders at the underage. But that's probably his reputation's in tatters now.
Yeah.
He's been exposed to it and there's probably no going back. That's happened to a few people who have been promoted from underage teams too soon. But like, looking for a manager, you must have a vision in your head of what you want. So the two main candidates are polar opposites. You've one who represents a young, dynamic way of playing, and then the other prime candidate is someone who will probably get your results, will keep you out, will definitely keep you in the division, and will shore up your defence. But as a footballing dinosaur in O'Neill, like, you know, it's the same kind of thing with Palace when they sacked De Boer and got Hodgson in. I understood why they were sacking De Boer, but it's kind of like you're just flip-flopping for your club, like, you know. And like, if your top two candidates are Silva and O'Neill, I don't think you know what you want.
I think that's,
you know,
I think you're absolutely you've actually really hit the nail on the head, because if you actually look at their signings, because you got Kenwright. I think Kenwright wanted Allardyce. He wanted an English manager, didn't he? And then the other guy, I don't know his name. There's like the foreign owner that's there with him. He wants Silva. So I think Kenwright wanted Allardyce originally, but Allardyce is waiting for Barcelona to give him a call. And then you look at Wayne Rooney coming in, and then you look at like the younger lads coming in and the foreign lads, and then you got the young English lads. So I think there's like two lads. There's two guys there, Kenwright and the other fella, and they just don't really... you know, well, you pick yours, I'll pick mine. And I think that's a problem there. I think it's just conflicting. And you're right. I mean, it's Allardyce or Silva. Now Allardyce is out. So now it's O'Neill and Silva. O'Neill is just another Allardyce. Yeah, it's just mad. And do you know what? If they don't find one voice, one way, and you're right, I would absolutely pay the money for Silva. He's the next Pochettino.
Mm.
Pay the money, get him in. And you're right, we're going to lose him out of the division. I think he wants to stay in it. He obviously likes England. He learnt English. You know, when that dickhead Marison was saying all this, and, well, Thompson is a Liverpool legend, but bad shell Thompson. Mm. You know, when he said that he learnt English to come to the division because he wanted to manage in England, I remember just looking at going, wow, this guy, he's showing something here. That drive, ambition, he's ambitious. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Just fucking pay the money. Watford is probably just sack him after 2 years anyway, because he won't give him a pay rise of 50p. And yeah.
But Watford are
like, I don't think they're going to put up too much resistance. Like, you know, I mean, he's probably put them in a position now where they're safe from relegation already. You know, they need to accumulate probably another 10 or 15 points, which, of course, they will do with the group of players he's assembled there. Like, your man, Rick Carlison, I don't know where he's picked him from, but he's up there with Salah as the signing of the season for me. Like, he's a brilliant player. You know, Watford, for the right, they're a selling club. Like, look at their model. You know, look at the family that owns them. They just want short turnarounds. They've had Kiki Sanchez there, Walter Mazzarri. You know, they'll just get another manager in who'll keep them up next year. And like, it's strange because Everton, like, they'll haggle over 1 million or 2 million for Silva, who, if they get him, could revolutionise them and maybe, you know, with the right support, could challenge Liverpool. But what they'll do is they'll probably go cheap, get O'Neill in, and, you know, they'll spend 10 million on a player in January who they hope will keep them up, as opposed to investing in a manager you know, who could really reshape the club. Because that club, like, I mean, it was in the doldrums for years. It looked like under Moyes, and then the early years of Martinez, that was coming back. Then with Martinez, it started to go sour. Then Koeman came in. It looked like, it's coming back a bit. You know, they sold the players. It's gone again. Like, they need a serious kind of, they need a new identity, basically. Because they're just a club you look at, and you're kind of like, it's very hard to find a word that you would use to...
Mediocre.
Like, you know, they're just... they're just a kind of like, you know, if they... You see their results every week, you're just like, oh yeah, Everton kind of thing. They're not, they're just making up numbers, like, you know what I mean?
They do lackluster, don't they? They're just very... it's just, it's like, what is the point in you lads being here? You're just going to sit. You'll do well. You'll kind of threaten to break into the top four. Well, it was the top four. They did it one season and that didn't last. But they're not cutting edge either, are they? Middle of the road, actually, I think is probably the best way to say about them. They always get like old pros, don't they, from Man United or other clubs, like cast offs.
They're always so close to taking the next step.
Yeah.
And then do something, and they actually do it themselves, that actually hampers themselves. It's like self-sabotage. Like, you know, the signing of fair enough. I think they had to sell Lukaku. The interest in the money was...
Yeah, but they bring in Wayne Rooney.
And you're just kind of like, what's going on here? Like, you know?
You're absolutely right. It's like that Radiohead song, isn't it? You do it to yourself. It's so fucking stupid. I mean, they just need to go with this young lad, but they will haggle. I think it's because Ken Wright won't let go of power. I think that's what it is. He just won't.
Yeah.
But they really need to get their act together. And you're right about Unsworth. His career's in tatters. He'll probably feel, well, I've done it. He's going to be in the John Carver. It was another one. You know, he's been promoted too early. He's probably in the John Carver thing. I'm the best manager in the league. And then they'll say, well, listen, mate, you're not going to get it. And then, well, fuck you. I'm going to go off somewhere else because I'm not going to manage. I've had a taste of first team football. I'm not going to manage the reserves of the U team or whatever.
Yeah.
And they create a bigger hole for themselves. I just wish Everton would just fuck off and get relegated.
Yeah. Well, you might get your wish the way they're going.
But I keep going about this. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Anything else catch your eye this week?
Not really. Really nothing happening. It was Gabe Sell. What was it? That thing like for I was gonna say it was Gay Week. It's the Rainbow thing. What's the name of it? Where basically it's for LGBT people. Do you think they're getting ready? They obviously know the PFA and all that. They know there's gay players. We all know there's gay players in the Premier League and English, you know, there has to be.
Yeah.
Do you think they're getting one prime?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to make the environment more so that these lads feel comfortable coming out. Like, What really, like, do you know what annoys me about this whole thing?
Go on.
Is that you have to make, like, in society, if you have to make something so friendly for someone to come out, then the whole thing is wrong. You know what I mean? The fact that it's such a big, that they're saying, oh, support gay people in the community. It's almost like, well, why do we need to support them? Why are they any different? Why do they need support? You know, they're just normal people. Like, you know,
treat them normally. Yeah,
yeah. Like the fact that there's this big song and dance over it. Like, you know, I kind of cringe sometimes. You know, I've seen all the captains in the Premier League this season wearing rainbow armbands. I know, and it's great. Like, you know, and I know the heart is in the right place, but it's kind of like you're making it a big deal. Like, you know, and why, first of all, why is someone's sexuality anyone's business? You know, like, we don't make players come out straight. You know, if someone's like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, it's not like, oh, there's Sergio Aguero walking down the street with his wife. He's straight. You know what I mean?
Like, getting a piece from the terrorist. Yeah. Straight wanker. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I know, and it is encouraging, and I suppose maybe they are priming it. I still think, you know, I think for the most part in the terraces, people would be fine. There'd be a minority of idiots, but these minority of idiots are criticizing people over everything. You know, like, they'd criticize you regardless.
I think their
problem is with the media.
I think
particularly the rags within the media,
the red tops. I think it's as ready as this. I think now they're overdoing it, and I think you're right. I think they are overdoing it. I think we're as ready as we're going to be. We need the first footballer to come out as gay. We just need it. Pep, but
I just have this feeling that, like, the Premier League are going to be doing this, like, an unveiling, you know, of a footballer, and it's just going to be like a famous footballer with, like, gay number one holding a jersey doing a photo shoot. Like, they're just gonna wheel him out like this. You know, the first gay footballers, you know, this fanfare and things like that. It's just like, what the fuck? Like, why does it matter? Like, you know what I mean? And what other job is it relevant? Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, in terms of, like, where's the first, like, oh, the first gay IT analyst? You know what I mean? It's like,
I know.
Yeah. I just can't understand why it's anyone's business and why it has to be an issue. Like, and I think the fact that they have to push it down our throats so much, they're actually like, people are kind of like, you're the ones making a big deal of this, not us. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, like, us and some people in the terraces, we're just kind of, we're turning up and supporting footballers, and you're kind of like, well, make sure you support footballers now, no matter what they are.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, well done, isn't he? And you scored, and you know how, you know, and you're gay as well. It's fantastic, isn't it? You can see Gary Lineker. Well done, you're the foot, and you've come out finally. Brilliant stuff. You know, it is a bit much. I think.
But I just have this vision of a footballer did come out as gay. Like we all have loads of gay friends, like, you know what I mean? And we just treat them completely normally, like, there's nothing. But I just have this vision of, like, you know, if someone comes out and, you know, commentator's afraid to say, you know, say if he missed a sitter, like, oh, that was a rock hard chance. You done well to get on the end of it, like, you know what I mean?
I just want to apologise for any members of the LGBT and, you know, just hearing me.
But could you imagine, like, you know, like, if, we've seen some commentators like Gary Neville be very harsh on a player. Like, you just wonder if there was someone who came out openly, would they get any differential treatment? Like,
you can see it now, couldn't you? And it's backs to the wall. So not because such as player. Now I just want to make that.
it's like that Ray Wilkins thing. It was one of the funniest things. Well, weirdest things I ever heard. He was like, he was doing commentary and he goes, some people would give their right arm to be a professional footballer. No offence.
think, no offense to anyone without a right arm or something like that.
Oh man, I'm surprised Jim Beglin didn't get into trouble for saying that about Messi. I know they've been a Muslim Messi, like
even though it's completely harmless and factually not factually correct, but he is a Muslim. I was kind of thinking at the time, oh, that's dodgy.
I remember.
Why? Like, that's just in my head.
I just think the side we live in. I remember when I was watching Match of the Day, and Alan Hansen, I think it's why he retired, actually. Alan Hansen said about racism or something like that. And he goes, no, sure, we've loads of colour players in the league. Ah, well. I remember someone said to me he'd be in trouble for that. I went, no, it's a harmless statement, because I understand he's from an older generation of people. And fucking Stan Collymore. Stan Collymore was coming out and he was like, oh, you're part of the problem. What colour am I? Green, orange? Mm-hmm. I was like, we know what he fucking meant. We know what he meant.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, I was just going to say someone might, it's not what someone says. It's the intent in which they say it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some of the most affectionate things people say to each other are horrible things. You know what I mean? In that kind of way, it's just ridiculous. Alan Hansen clearly meant no offense in that. And exactly. Anyone who took, I think there's actually a culture of people now that just take offense.
They have Ofcom. Trust me, Frank, living in London, they've got Ofcom and speed dial. You know, you look at them fucking sideways.
I've started to take offense to things.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you the story, right? When I used to work for Paddy Powers. And then basically what happened, this guy came in to me. I'll never forget it. It was in a shop. It wasn't in Croydon. It was just outside of Croydon. And he comes up and he was a bit of a lunatic, this guy anyway. And he just goes, can I ask you a question? I thought, oh, not this guy. Okay. Goes, right, Paddy. Yeah. Paddy is a derogatory term towards Irish people, isn't it? And I was like, I kind of looked at him. I was watching Liverpool-Chelsea, I think, and I looked at him and went, it can be, yes. Well, the name of the shop is Paddy Powers. Is that not offensive to Irish people? And I looked at him, I just went, Paddy's an Irish name. It's an Irish company. My grandfather's name is Paddy. Well, one of them was. Anyway, oh, is it? Yes. And he went, oh, okay. And I just thought, wow, that for me was like, oh my God. But that is what people are like, Frank. But I think personally with the whole gay thing, I think if somebody did come out and just say, just literally, they don't have to announce it. He gives an interview and he just goes, well, here's my partner. I've been seeing Tim, whatever, for the last thing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. There would be, it would make news for a week. It'd be big news. He probably would get a little bit of abuse from the fan. But I don't think he would, actually, because do you remember Kelly Maloney? The guy, he's a Millwall fan. He went to Millwall. And
Frank Maloney.
Frank Maloney. No, Kelly Maloney. She went to Millwall and got a great reception.
Mm.
That's Millwall, you know. And because I used to work there and I know a lot of people who work there and got a great reception. Said, well, you know, you have the balls. Sorry, want a fair expression. you got the balls to go to Millwall. And yeah, she got a great reception. I just think, but as you said, what was that big fat guy shouting at Frank Lampard, you fat bastard?
Yeah.
You know, these guys, some of these guys shouldn't be allowed out. Well, yeah, I just think it's ready, and I think we're as ready as we're going to be. Should just let it happen naturally, as you say, and just he'll get a bit of stick. Stick is what I said there. Sorry. No, he'll get a bit of abuse from the fans, and maybe one or two people at a game or whatever, and that would just be it. And they'll get banned. They'll get dealt with. They'll be banned for life. And then society will just move on for that little week. It'll be a bit of thing, and society will just move on. And then we'll be thinking, sure, what was all? Sure, look at all the fuss when black players started playing for England. Mm. You know, you get bananas thrown at them for a bit, and then you know. But society moves on. I think we're as ready as we're going to be. So yeah, just get on with it. You know.
Yeah, that was although it was sad to see Cyrus Christie
receiving racial abuse on
Are you on Twitter. What the fuck? Who? Irish? Well, it couldn't be an Irish. Well,
yeah, no, it was.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Really?
Yeah. Go back and I don't know if I should repeat the comment, like, but it was along the lines of you should go back and play for Jamaica. Like, I mean, that's just fucking... I know Twitter gives everyone a kind of, like, a pass almost. Like, I mean, them social media websites need to take a lot more responsibility, but, like, I mean, stuff like that, you know, it does, on the other hand, make you think, like, to players who might be in a minority to think, you know, there is, especially maybe not on the terraces, but, you know, on things like Twitter and things like that, it's an absolute minefield.
Well, look.
It's faceless, you know.
So social media is, look, I remember years ago, about 20 years ago, my brother got, like, the internet on his mobile phone. We had the internet. Well, probably first house in our housing estate to get it. Yeah, I think it was just around that. He had it on his 5110. You know, brother's an IT manager, and then we got internet, and there was a very select few that went on the computers. But you had to be into it. You had to be relatively intelligent to use it, because they were quite complicated, quite complex to use them. Now any idiot now uses the internet. You know, it's not, you know, oh, you have to be, oh, you're a geek, you're a nerd. Any idiot can use an internet, or use the internet, and every idiot can get their opinions. People say you have a right to an opinion. I've met people who should have that right taken, like a friend with Paddy Power, you know, coming in there. They shouldn't have opinions. But unfortunately, we live in a free country, and they do, and you're going to get that. To be fair, was that the only comment that was said to him, Frank? Was that the racist comment, was it? You should go back and play for Jamaica, or was there anything?
I think so, yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know whether they were leaving out something a bit
more. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's not nice, and there's obviously a race, but it's not the worst. I think Cyrus Christie is going to look at that and go, and if I were, I'd be like, you're a fucking idiot, you are, fuck off. Like, not, that shouldn't bother him, take notice of it. I mean, Irish players, I cannot remember the guy's name. He was the first guy to play for England. His name will come to me in a second. As I discreetly type in Wikipedia, but he got, like, bullets.
Walker sent, was it? Or?
No, hold on. First black player to play for England. Anyway, he got fucking, like, bullets in the post and that sort of shit. We've never had that in Ireland. You know, when Chris Hughton, first black player to play for Ireland, I'm sure he probably got one or two stupid things said to him in the crowd. Maybe at Dalymount Park when he played for Ireland. But you never get that. They always had Laurie Cunningham. He was the first England player to play for black player to play for England.
Mm-hmm.
No, hold on. First black player revealed to be Benjamin Odeji. What? I don't fucking know. Anyway, he got an awful time.
Right.
But, sorry, I'm just trying to give a bit of thing. But yeah, he got an awful time. But we never had that in Ireland. Like, that sort of. Paul McGrath never got that, and, you know, Curtis Fleming and Terry Field and any retrospective black player that played for Ireland after that. So it's just some dickhead. So it's not nice to see, but I don't think Cyrus Christie will be too. If that's the worst, if that's the only comment that was said, now there could be worse.
Like, I'm just going on reports now. Apparently he was in tears over the abuse. Now, words of James McLean. He said Cyrus Christie was in tears over the abuse.
Was he? Oh, Jesus.
So I don't know if that was the only comment. And he made a formal report to the guards as well, so it's actually probably going to, you know, blow up a bit. Well, even if it's not, I suppose, comment is a racist comment, like, you know.
Yeah, it's obviously the sentiment behind it is not nice, don't get me wrong. And that guy is a fucking idiot. Our girl is a fucking idiot, whoever said it, but some said it. But I think to bring anyone's race into it, you bastard, like, that's your character, you know, it's ridiculous to do that. I mean, if it's for an own goal, I mean, yeah, just reading it there, the Football Association's referred allegedly shocking racist abuse of Cyrus Christie to Gardaí. Fucking hell. That's a shame. Which there's been a number of racist. Yeah, there we go. Been a number of racist comments, and that's coming from Cyrus Christie, representing the country, Republic of Ireland. Blah 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 blah. There's been a number of racist comments which have been brought to my attention during the World Cup qualifying campaign over the last couple of months. So this has been ongoing.
Apparently, yeah. Well, I mean, it seems to be a developing story as such. Like, you know, well,
shit.
I mean, that's. I mean, I know we had a couple of bad games for Ireland recently, so I don't know whether it was on the back of that. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't rate him as an international, but apparently he's going to be Stephen Ward's replacement, which doesn't really bode well for us, does it? But yeah, I mean, but we've only ever criticised him for his footballing ability. But yeah, that's obviously bang out of order. He can't be doing stuff like that. Players make mistakes, and he has been terrible for Ireland. He really has, except for the Wales game is quite good, and the game in Denmark. But yeah, that's hopefully these guys will get done and they get banned from any Ireland game. Well, they're not Ireland fans, are they? Ireland fans don't.
I doubt they were even at the games, to be honest.
Probably not even Irish. Yeah. But either way, if they are, you know, obviously there is racism in Ireland, but you know, I've never seen it directed at players before. That's a strange one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, it's unfortunately in quite a dry week.
I feel depressed now, talking about gays and abuse and racism.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't an awful lot else to talk about.
No.
Probably, hopefully next week.
Yeah.
A bit more entertainment.
Fucking
I got
hell.
It heavy, actually.
He did, yeah. Actually, Frank. Fuck's sake. I need a stiff drink after that. Obviously, next week, in his absence...
All right, well, look, we'll let you...
I was just going to say there, though, about... obviously, Dave will be back next week. And we can talk... We'll start talking about the Fantasy Football League, because he's in charge of that.
Yeah.
I can't even get into the thing.
No, I don't even know what kind of week we had to be, but... Dave will be back with us next week, and hopefully the Vincent Company of the podcast, Kenny McCoy, will make a return from injury and join us next week. But and we'll also have a couple of other features as well that we'll be introducing next week, so it should be one to tune into. But I think for now, lads, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million, or lads, I should just say, thanks a million, Dunny, and we'll leave it there. So have a good evening.
You too, mate. Go on. That was all right.